Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is Twitch, and welcome to another edition of Lab Rats Culture. And my dude next to me, my guest, I met this guy, we met in 2011. Yes. Whoa. Oh, yes. The city is somewhere in Canada, Toronto, maybe.
Yeah.
The location is a convention named Coastal Dance Rage.
Whoa.
Let me know.
Right?
Back.
Yeah. Not together anymore, but that's a different story. But I've heard of this kid, this new kid by way of Chicago. My man Sean Evaristo said that kid has the ear of a champion. It's ridiculous.
Whoa. That's something new I just found out right now.
You know that?
That makes me feel good.
Nah, bro.
Going in 7 years back.
Since then, my man has graced stages, even television shows. ABDC, part of Most Wanted crew. You just recently seen him on World of Dance with Ian Eastwood and the Young Lions. I mean, his name is in the title. I'm talking about my man, Ian Eastwood. Welcome to the lab, brother. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You have the coolest voice for an intro ever.
Thank you. You know what I'm saying? I've been working on the baritone for a minute.
That's actually really impressive. You should definitely do auditions as that.
Just like
announcing things.
Just annoying. Okay. I'm not mad at that.
Like, my announcements would be so underwhelming. Like, the way I start things all the time is just like, yo, what's up? Here we are about to do something else. Like, every time, it's just so
are y'all ready for it?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Like, you know, when we were on the show, I felt so bad in all the interviews because I was just like, these producers just like can't stand me.
Right. Because
they just want me to give them like sadness or overjoyed.
They want the TV thing. And the TV thing is something that if you don't know, for the people that are watching / listening, the TV thing is something that that America can catch on to in within 10 to 15 seconds, if that. So when you're talking, you kind of got to be like this and not like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I felt so bad.
Well, but hey.
Because I'd just be like, every interview was just like, yep, we're just like dudes that love dancing a lot.
Yeah.
And we just like hang out.
And that's really about it, right?
And like that, like.
But also with that, the talent was so tremendous that there was the give and take that it still evened out, right? So even though they might not have been getting what they needed from the interview, they were definitely getting what they needed on the floor.
Exactly. Well, because that's the thing is like, we take our rehearsals like really chill. Like the approach is just so laid back, but then when it's like focus mode, I think being in the crew itself is enough of an accomplishment for them in their head to be like with artists that like really respect each other and like are really trying to actually kill it no other reason than other to just like kill it.
Right.
That it's like, okay, when we're about to work, like let's go everybody.
Absolutely.
It's not like you're having to drag it out of anybody. Mm-hmm. So it's like if we're in the mode where we're kind of chilling, everybody's chilling. And if it's in mode where it's like, let's go, then it's like, let's go. And it's not like you're having to pull anybody like, come on this, come on that, you know?
Which I think also is really special too, because, you know, while we're talking about it, could you go ahead and talk about Ian Eastwood and the Young Lions, right? Because from the moment that I've known you, I know that the Young Lions, if you guys don't know, I don't know where you've been, but the Young Lions, it started out as a workshop, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
So could you talk about the evolution of, A, just kind of having the Young Lions workshop, and then how it evolved into Ian Eastwood and the Young Lions?
So this is cool because no one really usually gets the full story because they're not, like, there's never time, right? So, yeah. So, like, in 2009, the workshop thing in Chicago was, like, a really weird space, right? Where, like, you couldn't basically host your own workshops unless you were, like, under a crew or unless you were a big choreographer coming to town.
Got it.
So this is at a time when, like, Dance Success was really big at the time. And there was, like, a couple other local community crews.
Okay.
But maybe only two or three. And if you weren't with them and you weren't in their company class, like, you couldn't do anything outside of that. You would get no love or no support in any way. So it was at a weird time where I was, like, at an age where I was, like, really trying to, like, get people to, like, see me as an artist.
Right.
And I felt like there was a lot of people that were choreographing in Chicago that weren't really, like, in the mindset of, like, I'm trying to be a choreographer.
Right,
and I felt I was that.
Got it. Okay.
So it was, like, But then I was being held back because I was 16 and people were like, you're 16, you're not about to really be teaching anything. Right. And it was just like this weird juxtaposition because it's like I felt I was hungrier than the people that, than certain people, not everybody. Right. Like people like Annie Jameson were great. She was running to Excess at the time.
Okay.
And she like really gave me a lot of like ammunition and love. And so did Lee Daniel, but he had just moved right when I started. But like it was just like this weird time where I felt like I had to be respectful, but then like felt I had a lot more to offer than I was being able to.
Right.
So basically what happened was like Thanksgiving weekend one year, like my parents were like, you should host your own workshop. And so we hosted my own workshop and we had like a really good turnout. And it was like unexpected because it was like actually love from the community and it was just me by myself, not bringing in an outside choreographer.
Right.
And we called it like a Young Lions event, and we called it that because we felt like I was like young and hungry, and like actually we might not have even given it a name the first time. Maybe it was the second event. And the second event was I had become like good friends with some of the choreographers that were just starting to put their material online, which was like such a new concept, as you know, at that time. Like, I remember the first clip I ever saw on YouTube was on a MySpace, on Tucker's MySpace page.
Shout out Tucker Barkley, let's go.
Shout out Tucker Barkley. First YouTube video I ever saw was Tucker Barkley and Gigi in Gil's class. At the Boogie Zone. So that was the first online video I'd ever seen on the internet.
Right.
Which is like awesome.
Right.
And I was like trying to put my work up. And so this was at that time where like some of these newer choreographers were able to like be seen dancing online.
Right.
And I had become big fans of them separate from them assisting whoever they were assisting at that time. Which was like, you know, Tucker was assisting Brian all the time. Actually, Tucker was assisting everybody at Monsters. Same thing with Nick. He was like just starting to get real popping too. But like they were struggling. I remember talking to them like, not Tucker so much, but like I remember talking to Nick saying like he was struggling.
We're talking about Nick DeMora right now.
Yes, yeah, Nick DeMora, creative directing all of, you know, Bieber stuff right now. But I remember talking to him and him saying like he was struggling trying to just get a class, trying to find his space, booking jobs, this and that. And I was like so confused because I was like such a huge fan of Just Dance outside of the hype.
Right.
That I was like, how does no one think you guys are the dopest? Right. I think you guys are like the illest.
Right.
You know, and I didn't really understand the hierarchy thing, and neither did my family because they're both artists. Both Julia and Peter are artists as well. So they didn't understand that either, you know. So they were like, okay, well, why don't you reach out to some of your friends to like come to Chicago? The workshop scene had kind of died off because I think Too Excessive kind of like simmered down a little bit. And it was like, well, nothing's really going on in Chicago right now. Why don't you bring in some of your friends? I'm sure they would be down. They know us, like, to stay at our house.
Right.
We won't, you know, have to go, like, really deep in our pockets. And then maybe we can make some of that money back, basically, by, like, having people at our workshop. And then maybe they can, you can have an opportunity to directly work with people that you look up to. And maybe you guys do a collaboration. And so then that's kind of how it started, was not only a training program for just me personally, but also a training program for Chicago. Because it was able to like bring new cats that were like just getting their workout to a place of people that were like hungry people, not associated to any crew, you know, because Young Lions was just me and my parents bringing in our friends that we thought were dope that weren't popping yet, but were like really like on that rise of like we saw their talent. And so I think people in the community just rocked with that, and that was cool. And then Young Lions continued to grow on, and like I kind of like grew through my age. It went through, like, we started bringing the workshops outside of Chicago and trying to bring, you know, then I kind of went on America's Best Dance Crew, and then there was all that regime of choreographers that I was on the same crew as, that we were kind of touring around with those people, you know what I'm saying? And then at a certain point, I was teaching on convention, and Young Lions kind of evolved to a point where I was like, okay, well, I was maybe like 21 or 20 at the time, and then I was like, I've seen some of these kids grow enough, like how I felt I grew from when I trained under the people I trained under, and I feel like I've been that for them for a bunch of these kids or now adults. Like, I should start making this a training program kind of like underground, unspoken, on like not a crew.
Not necessarily a crew, but crew-esque.
But crew-esque in the sense that like if I see you in my class and I've called you a young lion or I've awarded you, like we were calling it Young Lions for Life at the time, which was if I saw kids that had been coming to all the workshops and that I saw their improvement and we had just given them scholarships to too many times that it was like, there's no point in me awarding you this every time. You can just come anytime you want, wherever.
Dope.
So then there was kids that were following Young Lions individual spot dates that I've been training, like some like there's a new crew that they just become a crew, but we're kids that I all trained for the last like 6 years called Wolfpack out of Jersey.
Right.
And they're all like 15 to 17. But I started training them like 9 to like 12 or whatever. And so they've now been training maybe 5, 6 years, but going, following everywhere, but then they don't have to pay tuition. So we were calling it Young Lions for Life, and it was kind of like a permanent scholarship program. And then I started to slowly book more jobs out in LA as a choreographer. And then it was like, well, I should obviously use all my dancers.
Right.
And then all these kids that have been Young Lions for Life in all these different cities started to become 18, started to move to LA. It was just like a very natural,
of course,
slow progression.
Right.
And then literally, I'd gotten the call a couple times for World of Dance.
Right.
And I was not interested at all.
Now, is this World of Dance as the television show or World of Dance, the live event?
Television show.
Television show. Okay, got it.
So I had decided, like, it started to feel so good bonding with the kids and giving my time to them because I had seen this major shift in dance, as well, I'm sure we'll talk about at some point during this conversation. I'd seen this major shift in dance, and it was just, like, very disheartening to me, and I was like... It was along the lines of like, what am I really doing though, to change what I'm upset about, right? So like, I'm gonna give way more of my time to these kids. I'm gonna give way more of my time, way more of my energy, and it won't cost them anything, and it'll like be inspirational in a different way where they can like really feel good about being challenged and like they're learning something. So I started to just like take any opportunity I could from World of Dance live events where they were asking me, where I was spending bread on like getting an Airbnb and then like spending all my money on rehearsals and getting all the kids together instead of doing a demo, which is what like a lot of people do at World of Dance because it's hard. You don't get any time, you don't get, you know, whatever. It's hard to bring people. What I was doing was I was actually spending money on like using my money that I'd make from that for the Airbnb, for the rehearsal space, and then getting all the kids to come with me so that it could be like me and the people I was training, right? And it's all been people that I've known now 5, 6 years, or every once in a while, new cat that I saw in class 2 days ago. I'm like, come rock with us. We got this energy. We got this vibe. Come through and chill.
I love that.
You know, we're on this.
Absolutely.
So I had just started to do like maybe one or two things where I was toying with the idea of making it like me and the people that like have worked so hard at my style over the years.
Absolutely.
Because I wanted to make it a thing that wasn't like, in dance community, it was always like, there's crew auditions and there's, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, I wanted it to be different than that in the sense that it's like all vibe.
Right. Okay.
It's all like, I've seen you in class for 3 years. This year, you got it. Let's go. Or I've seen you in class 2 times. You already got the vibe. You already are in the space. You're still like not there in a lot of ways, but you being shocked this hard with your head and like the way you learn, you'll be good.
Right.
So it's me directly feeling out my energy with the kid and like feeling out like how I need to like guide them as somebody, and then also allow them to do their own thing, their own shit.
What I really like about that, A, is, I mean, from the beginning, it's hands down, your style is incredibly unique, right? And for me, that's something to be said nowadays, because there are also a lot of Ian Eastwood clones. You know what I mean? I don't have to say anybody by name, but truth be told is that, you know, there's a lot of people that watch your concept videos, watch your class videos, and they pick up on angles. They pick up, they think they're picking up on the vibe and what you're putting down, but really they're just learning how to replicate what you look like. So
the
then
movement.
When they come at it, nothing really ever fully translates because they're missing the major
essence.
Element, the essence, exactly. So I think that's dope that you found the mindset to extend that to other people, because there's also a lot of people that are selfish right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and only 100%. Using that kind of clout for themselves. So I want to ask this, is that listen, I'm a huge fan of you, but also I love your parents. I love your parents. Yeah. Yes. And
my mom will hit me up about conversations she'll have with you.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'll hit your parents up separately. Yeah. I don't care. Like, I will talk to your parents by myself. I don't care. But it's also because, man, I'm a family man myself. Yeah. I have kids, and I look at you and I'm like, now what was it like growing up in Eastwood? And I'm not talking about, like, when did you find dance and stuff like that? What were some of the gems that your parents put into you to get the person that we are today? Because I'll tell you, the person that, from my standpoint, that I see today is somebody that is confident, somebody that that is looking out for the community and putting people on. Someone that is also not afraid to approach whatever artistic endeavor they might have on their mind, and not worry about whatever the outside world is. And even though he has mad viral hits, he's not in a viral trap. I never seen Ian do anything that I looked at and been like, he didn't want to do that.
Damn. You have no idea. You know, I woke up today feeling none of what you just said, like feeling like just so...
Really?
Yeah, it feels really good to hear you say it. I think just sometimes as artists, it's just so hard to,
agree.
Like,
yeah.
You know,
like, I agree.
Sometimes it just feels like you're just putting your all in Absolutely. Something, and then it's just like,
exactly,
like it's not there,
100%.
You know, and then you like have that doubt, so it's like that feels really good to have you say that to me today. So I appreciate that.
No doubt.
But to like. Man, I don't know. To answer your question, if I really think about it, my parents really, like, gave me all that fuel. Mm-hmm. I know the number one thing that popped in my head as soon as you saw that, said that, was an exact phrase of my mom. Oh, I can remember being a little kid and having my mom tell me that she said, like, the happiest, the most you could ever ask for in life is to, like, find something you love to do mm-hmm. and get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and live your life using mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. tool. And like, I think it was probably said to me in a simpler way like that mm-hmm. when I was younger, because mm-hmm. it's easier to grasp. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm sure she went down like, I know she went down like way deeper
right.
things than that.
Right.
But like, that concept to me is so like in my like brain mm-hmm. and way mm-hmm. of thinking that like, when I really think about it, like, even outside of dance, ways that I've been able to, like, support myself as a person, or, like, if I really needed to get bread for this when I was a kid,
right,
it was, like, I was so focused that mm-hmm. it was all helping me. And it is kind of crazy looking back as, like, how I thought about stuff as 15 and 16. Like,
right.
every single thing I saw in my life was, like, how can I get more of this and more of this to help me learn more so I could be better and do what I want to do faster?
Yeah.
So it was like, I was ready to move to LA 16. I was like, let's go. I'm ready to be a choreographer.
That's
like,
dope.
And now that I really look at that, that's like 100% my parents just being like, mm-hmm. you like, just even being like, you can do this mm-hmm. if you want to do this.
Mm-hmm. And seriously, that is, it is... them front to back. One of the first conversations I had with your mom, and this was the first time that I met her. Ian.
Yeah.
The first, like, usually pops came out with you today.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
But your mom came out to St. Louis.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was just sitting there rapping with her, and she took me through. And maybe you can speak to this sometimes too. But she took me through your process of what she calls dream booking, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But she took me through the process of when you wanted to. It was something with Monsters of
Hip
Hop. Yeah, right?
yeah.
And she kind of walked me through the process of how she, you know, had you kind of write down exactly what you wanted from this,
yeah,
what it felt like,
yeah,
what it tastes like,
yeah,
what it looks like, yeah, right? And then how you hit that goal, and then she immediately told you, now it's time to start another dream.
Yeah.
It's time to start another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And to me, I think that's just, as a parent, man, that's I hope that, you know, that myself and Allison, I hope that we can somehow find a way to pass that along to our kids in a way that it's being picked up the way that you picked it up.
Because,
like, your parents can tell you whatever, right? They can talk to you all day long. But it's that matter of, like, soaking that knowledge in and then applying it. You know what I mean? Like,
I think the number one thing, like, from my parents that I, like, give them and I'm so grateful for is they never dumbed, like, a single thing down for me, ever. Like,
really?
They never dumbed anything down. This will show you, like, they really, like, took time to think about, like, how can we help him be not just better person, but also, like, successful human being that, like, holds themselves as, like, an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when I first started getting allowance, dog, I've never heard of any parents doing this, dude. My parents gave me 5 tins. Like 5 cans. They were coffee cans and my mom took the time to spray paint and then write on. And they were divided up into savings, charity, quick cash, college, and I don't know, something else. For allowance.
Wow.
My mom was having me divide up my allowance for like part of it for charity.
Okay.
Part of it for like I wanna save for something bigger.
Right. Right.
Part of it for, I want to go to movies. Right. I want to do this. I want to do that.
Yeah.
And then I think it was like college or something like
that. Wow.
Yeah.
And do you find that training is still with you to this day?
100%. Right, like, just like, I've learned things about my friends that are like full adults or this. And then I'm like, wow, like, you don't even know. Like.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
You
don't
even know.
That's why I'm like, I'm such a fan because there's part that, like, I look back on my childhood and I'm like, I didn't learn that. I got allowances, but I didn't learn stuff like that.
And I think the number one thing was, like, taking that time to, like, really break stuff down for me and be like, not just here's your allowance. It's like, when you get money in the future, it will also be like this.
Right. Got it. Absolutely.
But if you're learning it now, you're already, you don't have to be confused when it's, like, already starting,
exactly.
You know? And then it kind of, like, the same thing happened with, like, art. So I already had, like, an inclination. Like a really, it was so easy for me to relate all types of art because my parents were artists and I could just overhear them talking about art.
Right, right.
To themselves even, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I don't even know, but like there was probably so much, you know, but like I was already, my mom loves to tell people like I was already understanding what like contrast and like composition and like what all these like artistic words and what their value is. I remember being in school and being in art class, like, 5th grade, 6th grade, and them talking about composition and doing this and looking around at other kids and having them have no idea what that meant. And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean?
Because
I didn't understand because it's like, my parents are artists. That's just part of my life.
Of course.
You know? And, like, I didn't understand, too. Another thing I didn't understand was, like, when we would do, like, reports and stuff, you know, my parents would break stuff down to give... show me how to like cut the thing out perfectly, spray mount it so it looked real nice. And like they'd show me how to do all this stuff. And I remember still being then in high school and being able to do it all by myself and not needing their help.
Right.
And kids coming up to school with just like, just tattered, crappy looking, you know, whatever. And it's like, well, I grew up in a house where artists have spray mount and they have X-Acto blades and they have, you know what I'm saying? Like my stuff's going to look dope because I had people that have all the tools that you'd have to go to Michael's for, go to, and they just like have all this stuff. It was like literally having like an artist's tool chest at my disposal all the time because it was like, they're already on the arts and crafts thing. They're ready to make something new. They're ready to try something new. So if I'm, as a kid, they entertained everything.
Within your group, the Young Lions, you have people that you have hand selected, not only just to be like, be able to perform your work, but it also, it's people that, that are also going to bring the right energy to the group as well. Right. Because with you being in your head so often, I'd imagine that, that the process of creating, can be tricky if you are not around the right people, if you're not in the right space, if you're not in the right headspace.
Yeah, 100%. Correct? 100%. And so, like, the biggest thing for, like, the crew when it comes to, like, working has been honesty. So, and it's never been spoken on, though. It's just been, like, that's supposed to be inherent in the way that we respect each other. So, that has been the greatest tool to me to having these guys around. Trevor's like my earliest that I started bringing around on stuff. Mm-hmm. And the reason why like I love having him and the rest of the crew around so much is like, if I try something, I'll look at, we don't really even talk that often sometimes in rehearsal. I'll just look and I'll just be like, or I'll just be like,
really?
Right away.
Right away. Right.
And I'll just like, I won't even say anything. I'll literally like, let's say I'm choreographing or workshopping something. I'll try something. I'll literally walk back to the speakers, sometimes just catch them out of the corner of my eye in the mirror, whether it's Trevor or it's Hugh or it's, and I'll just either be like, or.
Nah. Right.
And I know. And it's a try a new version. Keep it. Add on. Like, it's that like. It's
now,
that
what do you think? Aside from just from knowing that the honesty is understood, what do you think are some of the traits and characteristics of those guys that you are actually able to accept an honest opinion? Because as you said, as an artist, you're very empathetic and very sensitive, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So while creating, you're kind of also in a vulnerable spot, right?
100%.
Like, you know, there's times when I've been like kind of choreographing and like, I don't want to, I actually don't want to know yet.
Yeah.
I just want to feel it out myself. 100%. You know what I mean? Can you kind of speak to the energy that they bring to the circle where you then return trust in them to where you're making something up and you look to them and you know that they're speaking for you saying, nah, like,
100%.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
So that, I think, breaks down to one simple thing. And that is that I make my relationship with my dancers and my crew two ways.
Mm.
That's the number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that coming in that it's two ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As long as they're on, if they're trying and working as hard as I'm working, they know I'm right here with them. If I feel like they're not trying as hard, I'm not trying to hear what you're trying to say.
Right. Okay.
Don't care.
Okay. Okay.
Right. But if we're both here and we're both like, this piece has to be great because we want to make this piece really great.
Mm-hmm.
If we're both here and we're both on that and I could see that, then it's like, I hear you, I feel you. Right.
I see.
And that comes in too with the overall structure of Young Lions, which is that I created, touching back, kind of going to connect it all together, I created the name Ian Eastwood and the Young Lions as a concept of like, of an artist in their band, right? So that they've trained high enough. The band of the greatest artists is about to be just as gnarly,
exactly.
Right?
James Brown and the Famous Flames.
Exactly.
Right,
so they're about to be just as gnarly as the front runner,
right?
And the idea there is that then with Young Lions as its own name, we can just swap these names out because we're all choreographers.
Yeah.
So it could be Trevor Takamoto saying. And the Young Lions, Bong Boon on the
I see. Wow.
Or a bigger artist in the Young Lions, and it's not my name's not on it at all.
Got it. Okay.
So it creates, because it's taking the idea and shifting the idea from like a dance group to like what a real hip hop crew is, right?
Right.
A real hip hop crew from back in the day, it's loose. It's like you add a member, you lose a member.
Right.
This person had work today. Like,
of course.
You know, not so like boy bandy, we're called something five. And then, oh no, contract is up on this person and they want more money and now we can't do this.
Got
now we
it.
Lost our member. It's just like so much stress. Hip hop is very like, it's way looser than that. It's way just like,
100%.
We're this vibe.
Got it. Okay.
And then it's like, we could switch it up. Wherever, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of like, that was kind of the structure of that. And I think with them knowing that when they come to the table, it's like, okay, this is clearly my job.
Right.
And we're all here to make sure that my choreo for this piece for us looks great. But we all want to make it look great for the job.
I see.
If you got a video, we're all going to try and make it look great
for
your video.
Okay.
I'm just a dancer in this video.
Right.
If I can help in some other ways, you want me to help produce it, you want me to help maybe color it a little bit later, or just give you an opinion on it, you want to color it yourself. Like, I'm not that. There's so many mentors that get this role of mentor confused. They get it twisted and make it a selfish thing.
Speak on that, please. Yeah, speak on that.
So what happens is, like, they see the talent and magnitude of somebody, and they feel threat. Bad mentors feel threat. So bad mentors will do everything they can to keep you right here, but soak all your creative and soak all your energy so that they're good. Mm. And they're going to just keep this spot because they could keep this spot as long as they want if you're down here creating and nobody even knows they're doing it for you. They could keep this spot till they're 50.
Right.
They're not really doing it.
Wow. Okay.
Right? Uh-huh. So if they're not really doing it in the first place and people don't even know if they're not doing it because their style, their thing isn't really them.
Right. Right.
They could just keep this person down here forever.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I see like right now as a time that's like, first of all, the world is insane.
It's super crazy right now.
The planet Earth is just like, who knows? We're looking like minute to minute at this point, right? So like, so the way I see it is like, who, first of all, I'm not really that crazy popping. You know what I'm saying? I'm good for a dancer. I'm good for it in certain ways, but it's like, I'm not on a scale where I'm like, I just got bread to burn or, you know, like I'm still a normal person. Like I'm still like chilling, doing my thing, like as my art.
Right.
Who am I to like, what if someone in the crew is like, got some crazy shit that they got to like accomplish in the world. And like, they just so happen to be really good at my style and this is what they want to do right now. But what if they got some bigger purpose? Why would I let, why would I hold them back from that? Whereas I see like, I feel like so many mentors don't get that. It's like you're actually holding these people back from what they're like truly capable of accomplishing as like maybe they're a artist in a totally different way than you see them right now, but they're not able to like grow and excel to a point where they can reach that.
Exactly, because like, they're only being held in this this category.
Especially because dance is such a like, it's a shelf life and in certain ways, and not that many ways, because, you know, Pete's still throwing up grams of him. Like,
well, but look, here's the thing, but Pete is also a like a standout.
Standalone legend.
Mr. Wiggles.
Standalone
flow
legend.
Flow master. Like, you know what I mean? They're still...
Born to do it.
Putting crazy rounds out.
Yeah.
Still. Yeah.
So it's different. It's different for those people. But then for other people that are like maybe really phenomenal at dancing, but actually maybe that's not their purpose and maybe they're confused because they're really great at it. And like that's what they're doing right now.
Okay.
But maybe through time, in the right circumstances, in the right opportunities to grow, maybe they find their new purpose after they've accomplished what they wanted. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what we're going now for with Young Lions, is kind of making it, we're literally structuring it like kind of like right now, like structuring it as like a collective of youth that is like people that really just care about it. Like which they also, really just care.
Yeah, which and also it just kind of speaks to that, that like baseline, that baseline virtue characteristic of what I just, what I spoke about just a little while ago of like having a dream, realizing it, and then spawning off a new one.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think a lot of times here, especially with a lot of the instant gratification that is going on, right? You can dream about, there are kids that are dreaming about something a lot, a lot, right? And then they get it, and there's nobody there to tell them, okay, now what's the next one?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's time to move on into whatever it is. So let me ask you this. What mentors did you, of course, aside from your parents, but what mentors did you have that that really put you up on game, that did a good job of mentoring you?
Like hustling and
Absolutely,
so
yes.
I would say like the people that really took me on and took time were like, Marty would definitely give me his time early on.
Shout out Marty Kaduka.
I was, you know, major fanboy with the socks and everything. Like he would,
socks
he
and
would,
basketball shorts.
But you know what's so crazy? I actually talked about this the other day. It's hard because the mentoring scale, it's hard because the space has shifted. So what mentors did for me, new kids, because gratification is so easy and so instant and so abundant that they wouldn't feel how much it meant to me at that time.
Got it.
Because the space was different.
Right.
Compliments are sparse.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude and like appreciation of you as a dancer trying to learn and train is sparse.
Right. Exactly, because you didn't have you. There wasn't somebody, or better yet, there wasn't the space to comment on the clip that you just threw up. They, if they saw you in class, then that's what it was. But it wasn't necessarily.
And they might not talk
like,
to you after class.
Exactly.
And they might go on the plane right away.
Yeah.
And yeah. they might have some other shit to do that day where they can't talk to you.
Right.
But they thought you were good. It's a thought they had in their head.
Right.
They had a couple notes for you, but, like, they had some other shit to do.
Right, right.
Like, you
right.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And not even that. Now you're also factoring out, like, it was even rare for one of your peers to come up to you and be like, yo, you ripped class.
Of course.
Whereas now, these kids post a clip online, every single one of their friends since forever is like, you're the best dancer on planet Earth.
Right, right.
Because that's what they have.
Yeah.
That's what their friends have. Mm-hmm. My friends didn't even see me dancing at all. Like,
right.
It was like, nope, I'm not dancing anywhere, anytime.
Got it.
Like, it was just such a different space. So, like, these things were so big to me. I was just even saying, like, Marty, I remember one time that, you know, he would break stuff down to me too, but I remember one time Marty had me just come out just with him mm-hmm. to demo the choreo.
Uh-huh.
And he just leaned over to me. And I was probably 15, 16 at the time. So I just thought this was like the smoothest, coolest shit ever.
Yeah.
And he just leaned over. He was like, hey, don't fuck up. And I was literally just like, I'm officially cool with Marty.
Right, right.
Like that moment was just like, Marty is cool with me.
Right, right.
This is, like, today is the day.
Which speaks volumes, because my dude is, like, is the cool level, like, 800.
You know?
And growing.
So
and growing.
It was just, like, it's a different time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, me saying that to someone now would be such a different juxtaposition.
Right.
Like, it's just...
Well, I mean, in ways. I don't know. Because you saying that to somebody now, it really kind of depends.
Their...
It depends on the student.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because,
100%.
Like... Let's also not downplay it and be like, you're not that impactful. You're impactful. Now, I'm not saying like,
no, I see what you're saying.
I'm just saying you personally, you have impact, and especially with the body of work that you have so far. I mean, I want to get into that actually, because you know it's actually been kind of awesome. We've been talking for so long, we have not mentioned the video just yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
it's
you
just...
have mad videos. Like, me, like, you know what I mean? But like, but with that is. In this, okay,
yeah.
Like, during, creating something for video purposes, which I think it seems like you've been incredibly efficient about too, right? Because like, and I guess that speaks to, you know, figuring out how to get some of the group with you wherever you're going, as opposed to just getting paid yourself and just doing something yourself. You're looking out for longer game.
Yeah.
So. If you can, just could you take us through the process of what making a video is for you right now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's you've been at it for a while, and you've been in front and behind the camera, right?
Yeah.
So if you could just take us through the process of you know.
Totally. It's actually it's pretty interesting because it's like a straightforward breakdown too. Like it's very like I have a very specific way I go about it because I realized the other day that I've been making internet videos for 11 years.
Right.
And dance videos specifically for that entire time. Mm. So at this point, me and my crew are trying to elevate this. So we've actually put a little bit more of a structure on it where there's kind of like almost three levels of content that you can create as a choreographer, director, dancer in our space, right?
Okay.
There's like the base level,
okay.
which is bare minimum showing off the dance, right? So that can be me doing my freestyles with the GoPro,
right?
Just throwing the clip up,
right?
Or it could be class clip,
right.
You know, whatever, right? Just chopped up, synced up, thrown up online.
Right.
That's like the base level, no added creative
right.
externally than the dance.
Right.
Then you have the next level of production, which will cost you a little bit of bread, but you could do it real cheap. And I, in the last year, have spent the most time at this level for reasons I'll explain in a little bit. But I've spent the most time at this like mid-level that you can do for dance videos, which will like cost probably under $1,000, and I got the most efficient at this because it's the most fun to do and like challenge yourself,
right?
And the quickest reward for how much you challenge yourself.
Right.
So what happens is, let's say I have a piece,
mm-hmm.
I want to shoot the video, I'll hit up all of my dancers in Young Lions, my pool,
right,
or just like a couple of them that I really want for it,
right.
whatever. See who's available, then I'll set the dates that I'm going to have the rehearsals mm-hmm. and set the times. Whoever's available, come through. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter to me. You're already, it's like a, you're already in this with me.
So whoever comes
we'll
through,
make
be,
whatever
gonna
we're
going to
anyway.
Make. Right.
I'll usually have half the piece done mm-hmm. about like maybe a verse, let's say. And then these videos too are also usually around the same runtime. They're usually like minute and a half, around 2 minutes, right? Which is like not a super deep piece. Mm-hmm. Usually it's kind of like intro, first verse, bridge, hook, outro, video done.
Right.
So I'll usually choreograph like a verse and maybe the hook and then leave the intro open for staging.
Okay.
So then I'll go to the rehearsal process. Then you're in rehearsals, right? I already have some of it done. I'll choreograph probably the rest of it on the fly in rehearsal.
Okay.
And just have people absorb. So I'll have maybe the verse done, like I said. Then maybe I'll do like the hook and like bridge in rehearsal on the fly to catch everybody's vibe.
Right.
But leave it a little bit looser in choreo. And then that'll be, and then I'll teach them what I already have. That'll be first rehearsal. Second rehearsal will be start staging from the top.
Okay.
So staging idea begins at the beginning of rehearsal. Like, so I don't even really know who's that great at the piece yet. It's more of just a bigger idea focusing less on like traditional, like community, like One Direction, straightforward, like
wide shot.
Who's the best goes here. It's not so much like that. It's kind of just like, let's have you here. Let's have you here. Let's have you here. This looks cool for a first thing.
Cool.
Let's go from here. Then we go where we can go to from there. And then because the boys in the group have such great creative input, I open the floor. All the staging stuff is open. Whatever's best makes it. So Trevor could throw out an idea, and then usually Trevor will throw out an idea, and I'll level it up, and then Bong will level it up on top of that.
Right.
Or Anthony will throw out something, and then someone else will level it up. Someone else will say no, we'll try it. Or maybe there's three ideas for a section.
Right.
If it's like levels. So we'll try all three ideas. This group goes up, this group goes down. Now this group goes down, this group goes up. Now this group like goes side, this group goes, and we'll try all three back to back, and we vote. And it's like clockwork.
Now, so, real quick, let me just interject. Have you as a director at this point in time, have you already started to think about the shots that you're going for too, or does that come
at
after?
This? Okay. So this is the key. This is the key difference between level two and then the third
level.
Okay. So level two, the goal is, so level one, like I said, is just dance material.
Right.
Camera doesn't matter at all.
Right.
It's just whatever your dance is.
Right.
Second level is camera matters. Location matters and clothes matter, but the overall goal is to showcase the dance in a more specified environment.
Okay.
More
so this is
general
this
vibe.
Is, this is the Kanye West joint with the ski mask.
Exactly.
What song was that?
All Day.
All Day. This is the All Day joint.
So it's like All Day or like 24 Karat or like it's just like vibe.
Got it. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. So this second level is like vibe.
I see.
Music
video. Cool. Got it.
Right? Yep. And then there's the third tier, which is like what we're trying to explore right now, which I'll get to in a sec. So like through rehearsal, we figure it out, right? And then it's done. Piece is done. Record it. Review it. Send it to Gerald, DP. He just kind of looks at it. We shoot these pretty much the same every time.
Right?
So you're going to have, depending on location, it's going to be like, we're going to set up lighting real cool. I'm going to have like the general direction I want for lighting. Like, I want this backlight blue here.
Right.
I want this, like, I want this, our side light coming in red. And I want a key light here. Like, just everything. I see everything.
Right.
And then clothes. There's a hustle to the clothes, too.
Okay.
There's a secret hustle to the clothes.
Secret hustle to the clothes.
Yeah. So, all those videos, if you watch them for like the last year, it's like wearing similar things. But not quite the same.
Right.
So there'll be one item that I'll buy for everybody, usually a shirt.
Okay.
And I'll go to H&M.
Right.
And I'll get the cheapest shirts they have.
Right.
And I'll buy them for everybody. And then everybody bring their own shit
Got
for
it.
The rest.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then I'll usually return those things too.
Tight.
Yeah.
Shout out to H&M.
Shout out to H&M. So that's like saves money right there. Like that, this level is like the hustle level.
Got it. Okay.
That's like, I'm trying to spend no bread.
No money, but still get
Because
this
I don't
amazing
make
product.
Any bread from this video.
Right. Got it.
Because I can't monetize.
Got it. Okay.
Right? So it's literally just costing me money.
Okay.
So all I'm paying for is location and DP and studio space.
Okay.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
And then we shoot it one day, in, out, like 4 hours, 5 hours. I go off of this, anybody listening that wants to use, I go off this thing called PeerSpace. Everybody in our crew uses it. You can rent it for productions. You can rent
it. PeerSpace?
PeerSpace. It's basically like Airbnb, but for like productions, meetings, anything. You can rent places, just people's places. Yeah, it's like houses or businesses or theaters or, and they range from like $20 an hour to like $1,000 an hour. And that was the game changer because everything up to that point was guerrilla style.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
For 8 years. And then this website came out, and then the last 2 years, it was like, I'm on.
Got it.
Because I could be like a legit director and like have a legit production.
Of course.
But just on such a small scale.
Right, right.
On such a cheap scale. So, yeah. So, anyway, so we shoot the thing. I edit it. I color it. The only other person that's not doing anything creative besides me is our DP. And we shoot that three ways. It's like... We either shoot Jib or we shoot Ronin or Slider. A lot of times lately, we've not been doing Slider because it's just kind of played out and danced. But I'll come up with different ways depending on the location. That, like, this is what I'm saying. These videos are fun because it's, like, more open.
Right, right.
It's a more open vibe. Right, it's like, you know what? Let's pull the Ronin in from here, going through here, doing this. It's on the fly type shit.
Okay, okay.
But because everybody that I involve is, like, on their... toes and ready to go, it's cool and it's fun.
Okay.
And we're all just down. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so it's all like kind of goal.
Of course, of course.
It all comes down to like the overall energy and vibe. It's like everybody's chilling, no one had anything to do today. It's not costing them any money. We're about to make a dope video. It'll be up in a couple days. It'll be sick. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just very like not taking a lot. So it's cool. And then the third level is what we're exploring right now, which is what I kind of was doing maybe more 4 or 5 years ago, or like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And then the tape kind of, when I dropped the like the dance mixtape, that's kind of on this level, which is like either concept or I'm seeing like, I'm trying to involve camera in a way that's beyond just like, we're at this corner and we're about to shoot the hell out of this corner and then chop it up. Something that's beyond that. Something that's like... an added level of like putting more effort into the wardrobe,
And also I'd imagine with story,
exactly,
and the whole
Or like putting way more effort, and even if there's not story, it's like putting more effort into the lighting, or into, you know, treating it like a music video. So we're toying with that idea now because now I have a big enough group of guys where I'm having Bong be my producer, I'm having you be my stylist, I'm having, you know, I'm now we're designating jobs. As though we're a production company, but we're really just trying to make this dance video happen.
That is dope.
Yeah.
That's super fun.
And so that's kind of like the flow of where we're at right now.
So with that, I mean, is it, well, we start, you know what, we just actually mentioned the dance mixtape. Let me talk about that for a second. the first and only dance mixtape.
Thank you.
Adult lessons for the G's, adolescence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. exactly. I should have. That should have been
for the
G's,
adolescence. You know what I mean? Just walk me through the when did that start? The idea of a dance mixtape, and take me from start to execution. Like
So that was something I came up with when I was 16, and I was, like, super heavy. You can relate to this because we used to talk about this all the time. I was super heavy into the mixtape, like, era of the internet. Like, DatPiff. I started – I found out about DatPiff from my friend James, like, the second year it was running. And I was the only person he told about the website. And that was at the time where it was, like, music was so different. Like, now everybody's, like, so – ready to share music and like I am too but music back then was like you're cooler if you have the shit that no one else has and everybody's like where'd you get that and you're like not telling you you know what I'm saying like it was much different then and so I felt so cool because I had this crazy mixtape website and I was just so into that era like Wayne was huge at our school and like other rappers too were just dropping tapes like legit tapes, you know, and I was so fascinated by it that I was just like, man, this culture is so cool. Hip hop is so dope. Like, how come like there's no like mixtape for like a dancer? Like, how come dancers aren't like popping like rappers are? How come like, because that was a culture I was in. Like, I was in hip-hop culture. Like, all my friends listened to hip-hop. Mm. All my friends wore, like, clothing brand streetwear associated with hip-hop. Like, it was hip-hop, 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 hip-hop all the time, you know? Right, and, like, all the styles I liked were hip-hop. I kind of, like, stopped doing my, like, training in other styles. Like, I had started to get more into, like, Wiggles and, like, my popping stuff and, like, you know? And I had those tapes from Wiggles, which were, like, I have VHS tapes.
Session
tapes from Wigs. And, like, I know that was a thing that dancers were doing for a while, but then the internet shifted that. And I was just like, man, that would just be so dope if you could, like, watch a, like, almost like a movie for a dancer, but in, like, mixtape format. Because mixtape format is, like, more youthful. And it's, like, you'll have a random interlude here that just is, like, the artist talking. And it's cool. Like, if you're a fan of them, like, it's dope. Especially if you're a teenager or something like that. And dance had gotten to the point where it was just, like, people were only streaming anything. Like, it was only, like, you're, the first thing you look at every dance video is the bottom right-hand corner that says how many views it has. And it's just, like, it was just getting, like, twisted. Like, that was, like, validating dance. And that was just making me sick, and it still does right now. But, like, at that time, I just couldn't take it anymore. I was like, I want to make a piece of art that's like, someone's gonna watch it and just sit there and watch it. Like, cause I thought about my parents as artists and I thought about like their medium and I was like, okay, well they take me to art museums. So good artists in their medium, they get their painting hung up and then people just like come and look at it respectfully.
Same situation.
If they don't know what it means, like they gotta figure it out. And they
Got
to stand there and look at it and, like, appreciate it or not appreciate it or just, like, whatever, you know? And I was, like, so sick of, like, comments and, like, so many choreographers at the time were just, like, getting all crazy on that. And I was at a time where I was actually, like, doing, like, probably pretty good online, but it was just, like, making me, like, not feel good. And so I just wanted to make something where people could, like, watch it and be like, I like this or I don't like this. But they put the effort forth to watch it and spent the time. Because, like, dance is, like, you know, especially on Instagram or this or that, it's, like, 2 seconds, 3 seconds. And if, like, I'll be honest, like, if I am underwhelmed with something in the first 5 seconds, it's different because I've been watching dance a long time. If I don't see anything special, like, don't care. Like, you know? And I just wanted to make something that people, like, had to put that time in to be like, I want to watch Ian's project.
I want to dive in and... and see, and kind of hear how you dodged, or how you continue to mentally dodge the trap of the milli views, like the milli, like the milli hitters. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you're not hitting a million, son, you're not coming to teach anywhere.
Right, you know
what I'm saying? So, and with having so many videos that actually did surpass that, and then there's some that don't. How do you? What is that in you that is you know, whether it be a person or people that kind of help keep you grounded, or is it you? How do you kind of dodge getting caught up in that? Because I'd imagine that it can be very easy with instant gratification, and if you do something that hits 1 million within, you know, a couple of hours, I would think just as human, just from survivalist instinct, and I'm not even talking about being an artist right now. I'm saying, you know what? If this is gonna get me paid,
really
then like, yo, I got there's another song like this, and I can do some moves kind of like that, but it'd be different.
So that is actually, it's actually pretty simple the way it breaks down in my head. At this point, there was a time where it was like, it was just a little difficult to feel out where I was at. And I kind of just like saw, like, just stuck through that, and like there were some waves along the way, but it was like I really figured it out. But at this point it's really easy, because now what I would say the number one thing that dancers need to do that they don't is that dance culture will always be separate from hip-hop culture at this point. Like current urban dance world culture, not like freestyle dance, hip-hop culture. That's always a part of hip-hop. But it will always be separate if dancers continue to separate themselves from the rest of culture. It's on dancers. It's like, dancers are like always like, I only hang out with dancers and I only go to class with dancers and I wake up with dancers and I hang out with like I go to the club with dancers and I like, that's not what hip hop is.
Right.
Hip hop is all these arts coming together, and most of the people in your crew do multiple art forms.
Well, I mean, hip hop is also it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle.
It's a whole lifestyle.
It's a whole lifestyle, not just a style of dance. Right, exactly.
So it's also incredibly underwhelming when you're with all people that all they want to do is talk about this class or that class,
right?
Because your brain is so creatively limited to like, okay, well, I guess all I can do if I'm a choreographer is make a dance from the beginning of this verse to the end of this verse. So that's the number one thing that dancers do wrong. So what I did is that I saw dance so much as art, I think because of my parents, equally as other art. Right?
Oh, okay.
So I've always seen it that way, as like, how come people don't look at me as just like equally as an artist as them? Which, because of the way I presented myself throughout time, all the artists I work with do see me that way.
Right.
They do see me as my own artist because I stayed always doing my own thing, right? So what shifted it was probably around 2013, 2014, when I started linking up more with like artists on the rise, right? That were like just making great music that I just thought were dope.
Right.
And I always would put those artists on, but it was more like I made a genuine effort to be like, yo, you're dope. I would love to link up with you, like, and just make something cool.
Because
I didn't, at a certain point, I didn't know what I was doing in LA anymore. So it was like, well, I should just like link up with other cool artists, find inspiration, and maybe just like even hang out with them or like, you know, just get outside of dance world. And so what ended up happening is all these artists that I listen to and put on a pedestal because I'm a dancer and I'm listening to this music artist.
Exactly.
Even if they're not so popular, it's like dancers' mindset is like, we're less.
We're at the bottom of the totem pole.
You're cooler than me because you make music.
Right.
Like, I can never be cool like you.
Right.
Right? So it was like this weird thing. And then I started realizing, like, no, these are artists like me. Like, I want to just hang out with these people, absorb what they're on and their thing.
Right.
So in Chicago, there's, like, so much going on with music right now and so many different artists coming up. I kind of just slowly started, like, chilling with some of them, you know, and getting really close with so many of them. And then also, in the last 2 years, reconnecting with a lot of my, like, mentors that I, like, really want to always keep their respect because it's super important to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing now how rare that is in the new gen of, like, not all of them really actually care whether their mentors respect them or not. It's just kind of like, whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever
are,
I need
who
to
Who are
do.
Some of those mentors?
So, definitely people like Marty Kadelka, Nick DeMora, Tucker, Sean Evaristo, Lyle Beniga, Keone Madrid, June Kamado.
Wigs, of course.
My biggest mentor in life. I'm wearing them
Wigs,
on my shirt
man,
right
yeah.
now. I'm wearing Wiggles to me is like, honestly, like, if there's one person that I could like look at their life and be like, that would just be so cool to live life that way. Is like, I look at that. I'm sure, I'm not saying that he hasn't had any like struggles or anything. I'm sure he's had like a lot of shit he's had to deal with, you know, but I look at someone that's like, you know, he's in his, I think he's in his 50s now, and he's got all these kids, he's been married for forever, and he does hip-hop every day.
Absolutely.
All day.
Yeah.
He
and
does hip-hop.
And a knowledge bank.
He's an encyclopedia of, like, experience and knowledge and, like, being, like, awake and doing something for the cause of doing it because you want to be great at it and sharpening your skill set and, like, always standing by how you represent yourself instead of like, because social media is so like, create yourself and be whatever you want behind that. And who he lives as a person is like, and that's what hip hop is like, sharpen all of your life and all your skills and everything you can so that you could be dope on the spot doing whatever, anytime, anywhere, any day. Catch
it's
me.
It's second nature.
Because it's a lifestyle. That's what hip hop is. It's a lifestyle. It's not just this moment. It's a lifestyle. You're actually living it. And that's what I think is so authentic about him as a person, where it's like, I can go on his Instagram every day and he'll be either in his black book He'll be in a session. Right. He'll be, you know, showing old footage. He might have dropped a beat.
Right.
There was one video where he's like dropping knowledge, playing his own beat, and showing, and showing his tag that he's doing that. And I'm just like, man, like if I could ever be like that authentic and talented, just chilling, like calmly, you know what I'm saying, and just like that would just be so such an ultimate like level of like master success, you know.
Shout
like,
to Wiggles, man. Shout out to Wiggles. And I have to say too, look, and with this talk of like hip-hop culture and with hip-hop being like a it seems like a major bridge in your life, a major connecting bridge to a lot of things, I gotta say, man, like you got to work with one of my favorite artists. It was Chance the Rapper, bro.
Yeah.
And I mean, besides the Chicago connection, what was that like? I mean,
it's awesome.
Well, because that dude is out of here now. He's like,
he's really out of here at this point. Yeah, it's crazy. How that started, basically the story that I'm kind of telling you. I mean, it was like.
So you
really
had known
simple.
Chance for a minute.
Was like I had known some people in the Chicago music scene. So my next door neighbor actually manages Vic, Vic Mensa.
Vic Mensa, okay.
And I've known him my whole life. That's and so crazy. Then I got linked up through them first. And then with Chance, it was like I had just dropped a video.
Yeah.
Like, and I put some Chicago footwork in there, and like, cause I was blown away that this artist from Chicago was like actually putting like juke music in his stuff. And and then I had looked him up and saw he was like, me and Chance are the exact same age to the day.
Really?
Yeah.
Exact same birthday and everything.
Exact same birthday.
What? Okay.
Which is really weird.
Okay.
And then I saw his show one time and I was like, I have to work with this artist, right? Like, I have to. He's a crazy, crazy performer.
Right.
And we had just, like, linked up online, and a couple things were supposed to happen and just didn't work out. And then we came together for Sunday Candy because Austin Vesely hit me up to choreograph it because my name had been starting to buzz around Chicago because I was, like, dancing all these local artists.
Right, right.
So all these local artists were, like, seeing my stuff and being like, this kid's dope. He's from Chicago. So then in Austin, it would have been like, this will be perfect. There's going to be a lot of dancing in this video.
Right.
Done. And then... pulled through, and it was kind of like not really realized how much I guess movement and things were gonna have to be involved. And me being a choreographer in that video on the Sunday Candy video, it was like I was super inherent in the video just to try and make sure that we could get it all done,
right?
Because it was just too, it was so many moving pieces, and like you know, and in Austin still having to accomplish all this stuff as a director, which is really hard, you know. So it was really dope that when the video came out, they just like, you know, they showed me a lot of love and gave me a co-director credit on that. And that was something that I felt like I would never, ever experience, you know, in LA where everybody's trying to push you down and be less than what you are.
Right.
You know, I had just been hired as a choreographer and got a co-director credit, which was something I was trying to do for, I've been trying to direct for a long time, you know, and like, this was someone from Chicago that I believed in and like artists that like, you know, not just Chance, but also like the entire band, Social Experiment, and, you know, Peter and Nico and everybody. And like, they just gave me that validation of like, dude, you're killing it. We love you. Like, we respect you, you know? And that was just like, that was probably
amazing.
One of the best like moments for me because I'd just really been struggling in LA of like, what am I supposed to do out here, you know? And then I felt a purpose because it was like, we rock, whatever you're doing, we rock with you, like, and we're just like dudes here doing our thing too, like, we feel you.
And that then honestly, that kind of raises a question right here too, is that your Los Angeles path is going to be different than anybody else's. Of course, everybody's going to have a different path, but I don't, you are not aiming to necessarily go to auditions to dance behind artists and all that kinds of stuff like that, correct? Do you find that, what is the biggest struggle for you here in Los Angeles, knowing that your path is going to be is going to be a bit different than the path that so many have followed, meaning they kind of start the journey as a dancer, of course,
right?
A dancer kind of move to associate choreographer and the choreographer eventually artistic director,
right?
Things like that. So removing that section. What has life in LA been like for you now? Do you find it hard to relate to a lot of the people that are here, or because that part is not even a thing, does that not even come into play?
So it's weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, my position in LA actually right at this very moment is super weird. It's like all the creative, young creative people out here that are like kind of like really killing it, or now are killing it on a mm-hmm. big scale, like Chance or whoever, you know, mm-hmm. but I was good friends with them or connected with them at a point mm-hmm. before that moment, mm-hmm. and I just respect them as artists, and they respect me as mm-hmm. artists. So now I'm at this weird spot where, like, all the talent and, the, like, all those people mm-hmm. and their teams, like, they all really rock with me as a
right.
person.
Right.
But then, like, money never ever really gets me, because,
right.
like, money people never really get it, you know, mm-hmm. because, like, what I do is not exactly, like, all the time dance or choreography, you right. know what I'm saying? So, like, some things I'll do... where I'll just, like, you know, Vic's a good friend of mine. I'll just, like, go in the studio with Vic and just right. chill and, like,
right,
you know,
right.
like, we've made a couple random beats together right, and just, right. like, hang out, vibe, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. talk about, you know, where things are going on his album. Mm-hmm, like, just, mm-hmm. like, being there and right. being a fellow creative right. with someone that, like, these artists can trust.
Right,
so
right.
some of that's, like, so beyond being a choreographer in dance, and that mm-hmm. kind of also links back to what I was saying about dance limiting itself.
Right.
Of... that's been my struggle, is trying to connect that of, like, I feel like such a huge separation between, like, regular culture, hip-hop culture, what's going on really out here in Hollywood and how right. all these people are creating and what they're creating, when they're creating right. it, and when dancers receive it. It's so right. late. It's so, like, after the label, mm. after it's been released, mm. after the video's out, when they mm-hmm. need dancers for a job. Mm-hmm. It's like, no dancers are part of those creative, they're not around.
Right, right.
Where they should be around. But
in your experiences, when you have been around those creative those creative endeavors, they end up taking it. I see what you're saying.
The yeah, artists yeah, take, yeah. like, dancers think of themselves so far back that they don't realize that, like, these artists really love dance. Like, they love dance. Right. Artists love dance. They love, like, you know, I'm working with a friend of mine right now, Lido, on, I think you'll actually find this really interesting, something we're trying to work on that I haven't talked to anybody about yet, but we're kind of like trying to make a beat tape that really? Is that I'll like executive produce and mm-hmm. oversee, and the goal is like we're calling it practice music, you know, so that it's like something to just get down to a vibe, right. like it's just right. giving people
right
something right.
absolutely
right. So it's like that's been my challenge, is balancing money. And this being a profession mm-hmm. and like really doing it for like this culture. Cause mm-hmm. like the things that people see me as successful probably are not the things that support me financially.
Right. Okay, I see. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. like my position in a lot of these places, like at certain points mm-hmm. I'm gonna be getting paid for my jobs. Like when I'm like, I'm choreographer on this job. Right. But a lot of that time is spent just like going there mm-hmm. to hang out mm-hmm. or like going to the event to mm-hmm. support the show mm-hmm. and then like
got it.
Just kicking it, you I know, see. Like mm-hmm. It's been that balance of like trying to find out exactly what I'm trying to do, because I feel like not like a lot of choreographers are like in that same space, you know, right. of like right. really being out there, unless they're on that top caliber, and then it's with their artists that they're always right. rocking with,
right.
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like you're about to
right.
see Gil kicking it with Janet, like right, on that
right,
level.
Right. Exactly.
You know, but it's about to be like they're best friends.
Right.
Exactly, you know, so it's on course, like a totally course. Different level than me too, whereas like you'll only see me every once in a while
right,
around
right,
these cats.
Of
like
got it, got
hit
it.
Ian up for this.
Right.
You know?
So with that,
it's
that,
weird.
You know what, that it's a, yeah, it's a it could be a tricky thing, but also I think it also has its benefits too, man, because you know, with just with that mindset alone, I feel like, and I think history has proven this, that you will just attract the things that you would like to do, even though you might have to stay this weird spot out for a little
yeah.
bit. You know what I mean? I feel like you're so goal-oriented, and also just bigger picture. You just got the vision in mind all
yeah.
the time. So it's just, you know, if this is a weird transition, it might be, you know, but I'm I have a lot of faith it's gonna work out for you, bro.
That's interesting that you say that, because my girl's been trying to tell me the same thing. Like, I've been kind of in this like weird little like yeah kind of yeah. like a transition state, you know, yeah. right now of like, what am I? I don't know. I don't even know at this point anymore,
right.
you know, because
yeah.
like if an artist hitting me up for what I'm listening to that week, mm-hmm. like Like, am I really just a choreographer? I don't know, you know, you know, so I feel like I'm way more than just a choreographer and way more than just maybe a dancer. But then in like many ways, it's like, I still want to really, like, lately I've been really wanting to hone myself as dancer choreographer because I'm feeling like that's slacking off because my attention, you know? So it's like, I'm kind of in that weird spot right now. But I think with what we've been talking about, like, with me trying to stack the crew in a way that, like, people are really exploring their own things. Right. And then now responsibility of, like, just trying to keep this whole thing running is a little bit more evenly dispersed. I think it'll be, like, it'll be cool for, like, me and all everybody in the crew to kind of, like, explore some new things as well as really hone the craft, too.
Right, you know?
Because that balance is just, like, really hard.
It's, I mean, it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
And even being, look, I'm many years, not many years your senior, but I'm older than you, obviously. But, and it's still a transition, bro. It's still a transition of stripping things away and being like, all right, well, who am I? What am I? What exactly am I doing?
Because
you get certain accolades or you hit certain goals, and then you're standing there for almost a little bit of time, almost bare, right? Because you've had so much fuel and so much baggage on you about getting this one thing, and it's that, and you get there, and for even if, you know, depending on who you are and what that turnaround time for that dream is, you're kind of standing there like, okay, now what?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
panic, straight panic.
Yeah.
So here's the question, and these are gonna be the this is it. This is it right here.
Just putting a little seasoning on.
First question is this, okay? And I think this is going to be an awesome question for you, given the generation that you came up in and also your perspective in this, okay? We have this incredible tool of YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay? Worldwide.
Yeah.
Right? Incredibly popular dancing styles, yours being one of them, okay? Meaning, like I said at the I think I said at the beginning, and there's so many Eastwood clones, like, and I'm not talking about the folks that's in the Young Line. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about
the
new
peripheral
folks.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I'm not in a place where I'm trying to fault them at all. I get it, because depending on where you are, that is your dance education. So I have you, Ian Eastwood, sitting right here.
Yeah.
Can you, for those that are learning from you, strictly from YouTube, every little nuance of thing, can you speak to tools that they might be able to use to enhance their individuality within this? Because it's great that they can move like you. It's great that they can move like you, that they can look like you and get that feel. Because to me, I'm just like, man, that's tight too, because like I see where that comes from, and I see how much that's
the
spreading. However, after a certain amount of time, when nothing changes from that, and then there's more people doing it, it's like, where's the originality coming from?
Right.
Because we already have Ian.
Right.
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 We already have Ian. We already have June. We already have Nick DeMore. We already have Tucker Barkley. We already have all of these people, right? And they do incredible dances. They do incredible things, but that doesn't mean that you have to be them, right? Mm-hmm. So now that I have one of them sitting next to me, what could you give as tools to enhance individuality?
I think the number one thing, first of all, awesome question, because that's like a deeper question in the sense too, like, it is hard to be original when you're learning. So that's super hard.
Yeah.
And dance is one of those things that, like, you can't, I mean, some people can, but you really got to train as a dancer. Like, you really got to train. So, especially if you're fascinated by a style, you're going to train under that style, right?
Right.
And I think that for those people that feel that way, that are struggling with that, like, creative approach, one thing that can change the whole perspective, which has changed it for me, and I thought this way all the way probably until last year. So, I mean, you know, that's like, whatever, 13 years, 14 years, something like that. And my approach has changed in the sense that it's never about the dance. The moves don't matter. The actual moves don't mean anything. So that sounds so horrible, but it's not in the sense that it is about what we were talking about earlier. It's the essence, right? So I now approach choreographing and dancing as like, the way I look at it is like this. I love music so much. It's like my favorite thing on planet Earth. Music is my favorite thing in the world. And if I'm going to create my art on top of somebody else's art, it's like a huge deal. Because that's like respect.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't just like destroy someone's work.
Right, right, okay, yeah.
Because you have no idea what they've gone through to create that art, right? So if you just smack on top of it some just stuff, then it's just nothing,
right?
It's just bleh.
Right.
And if you're trying too hard to be somebody else's style and do something else and reference moves you know, then you're not really doing yourself or the artist the respect of like trying to be vulnerable enough to really create something that's genuine, right?
Yeah.
So I changed the way I choreograph from being like, I'd pick a song and I'd listen to that song for like a month, maybe. I wouldn't even touch it because I wanted to know everything so bad, right? And all I would listen to in all my free time is that song. And this song, song. And you change, it's the same way you change dance from being about dance moves to creating as an authentic artist. The same way you stop listening to, the same way I stopped listening to one song for a month before I'd choreograph to it. And as much music as I can, that's just great music. And then when I want to choreograph and I feel ready to choreograph to this track on this day because I feel this way, now I'm ready to choreograph today right now.
Got it.
And I'm going to just let it flow out using my skill set that I've worked on this entire month in other ways and in other way like areas. I'm going to use that skill set that I'm constantly sharpening as me as a dancer, not as me as a choreographer. I'm going to rely on that skill set while I'm just letting everything pour out creatively.
Right, I see.
So it's kind of the same way as like I think about Wiggles in hip hop, but just in choreography, right? So I'm working every day on how I hear sounds. How do I hear this snare? How do I hear this hi-hat? How do I hear this 808? How do I hear this lyric? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What is it, right? For all of music, not just this song.
Okay, I see. So you're saying you're almost putting yourself in a place where you're fully immersing yourself with the idea of creation, no matter what the song is. So you might not be listening to the song that you're, but like out of all of them, you're painting pictures for all of it, getting ready to attack that one. Right.
So that now I train harder as in my freestyle. And my freestyle doesn't even necessarily mean like I'm playing music and I'm dancing full out by myself. My freestyle could be me in the car and I have a drill that I do for myself. And again, it's not like a drill. It's just something I always do when I listen to music. Is that I have all my flow. So now when I choreograph, everything is flow-based. Everything, there's no stopping. That's what I'm trying to go for. There's no stopping, constant movement. And my theory behind that is that like, so I get really deep in now into music, analyzing music. So my theory behind never stopping when you're choreographing is like that, okay, so sound, it's all tearing apart what sound looks like. Right? So if there's silence in the record, the song hasn't paused. The song continues on through the silence. The song is using silence as a sound. The same way that we can use flow as movement. So this is silence. Because that's what silence looks like. Because silence is active. Silence isn't dead. So now I kind of like use that theory when I choreograph, and that all is under me listening to music nonstop and being like, how can I not just dance to this snare or this hi-hat or like, what is it like, what does it communicate to the world, right? So like, okay, the hi-hats give me this bounce. The bass is giving me this like down here feeling. Like, what is it, you know? But because I'm spending so much time not focused on this song and these lyrics and this exact setup and this exact way for this one verse that I'm going to choreograph a month from now.
I got you.
Now it's like I understand so much more music than just that song that now when I come back to this song and I really want it to be good because I really want it to be authentic, now I know what these sounds look like. I already know what they're going to look like. Now it's just like sculpting it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. But it was
it's
awesome
a very, like,
to hear you kind
artsy
of
way.
It was also awesome to hear you kind of talk about it too, man. Listen,
yeah, it's a process.
And I don't know how many times I can mention it, man, but I sit here as not only the homie, but a fan too, and someone that is just so proud of everything you're doing and the journey that you are continuing to move on, man. And from our talk today, it sounds like it is going in the right place, man.
We're trying.
Hey, listen, I got faith in you, brother, man. I do. You guys, thank y'all so much for tuning in. This is my man, Ian Eastwood. Check him out. Where can we find you, Ian Eastwood? Where can we find you?
I think all my social is Ian_Eastwood, I think, for everything.
Put Grand that underscore Twitter in there because somebody was a hater and snatched that name up.
Yeah, super big hater from the get-go, from the jump. Never had my name for anything online.
That's not
ever.
That fool's name. Like, that, whoever has the real, like, the Ian Eastwood,
weak.
That's not their name.
So weak.
That's super weak. And for you, I hope you're not watching interviews. So.
Catch me tweeting out lots of stuff about the dance community all the time.
Let's go. Ian, thank you so much for coming
thank
by the lab, brother. I'm so proud,
hey, man.
Yo.
Thank you, bro.
Boom.
Yeah.